Procon Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 yes. WGN. We are very, very pleased and proud to have the former chief of staff to the White House and Commerce Secretary, former Commerce Secretary Bill Daley in the studio with us. And, well, I don't know, your reaction to the press conference today between the president and Vladimir Putin?
You know, it isn't surprising, even though we're stunned by it and even though we're shocked by it. If you just listen to what Donald Trump has said for the last 4 years since he got into this thing, and many years before that, he has a perception about the Russians and about the role of the United States in the world that's very different than any other leader, any other president since World War II. And he doesn't care what people think. And watching him today was not only embarrassing, it's rather frightening.
You're seeing some powerful Republicans step up and say this is not okay, what we saw. Right. You saw Dan Coats, Director of National Security, say the Russians absolutely did meddle with the election. The president needs to hear that, I would think, and this it isn't refutable.
No, but Dan Coats evidence. Should, if he feels as strongly as his statement and has been repudiated, and the men and women of his agency have been repudiated, why would he stay working for this guy?
Okay, let me ask you that, though. I mean, I thought exactly that, too, about a lot of the folks here, right? You saw Gary Cohen leave. You've seen other people leave. Interestingly enough, Wilbur Ross has gotten the poop kicked out of him a couple of times, and yet he still is ticking. I think that I'm going to take Wilbur out of this for the moment, but I think that the people who have stepped aside figure that there will be other competent people that will come in. I think a guy like Dan Coats, who has, I'm sure you know him and knew when he was senator, right, from Indiana. If I were him, I'd be worried about who they would choose to replace me. I think Rod Rosenstein feels the same way. I think a lot of the people who... you know, they're the ones holding on. I think John Kelly, chief of staff, feels the same way. As a former chief of staff, what is your thought about that?
Well, then you're really, if we believe that this is all of these people, all good people, John Kelly, I know Senator Coates not well, but I know him. He had a good reputation when he was in the Senate. He was viewed as sort of a politician when he was put in that job, which has been historically a less political, more career person.
Right.
But if we're at the point where these people are basically trying to protect the nation from our president, if they really believe that, then they better think of some other alternatives if it is that bad and if they're at that
so point. So step aside, the alternative being step aside and then come out and publicly talk about it.
Yeah. And say, we are in a crisis and action has to be taken because this president is not protecting the interests of the nation. If the head of the DNI was to do that, and look, at I fully appreciate the horror that this could create for the country. But, you know, at some point, you've got to put the country ahead of even your individual, maybe like for Trump, or your loyalty to that agency, but you've got to put the nation ahead of it. And I think we're getting very close to that point. This, not only today's press conference, but the week of trashing our allies, calling the Europeans our foes. These are people who have been the most loyal to us in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Vietnam, all over for 80 years since the Second World War. Right. We helped save them, and their strength has had added to our strength economically. All these people running around saying, what a great economy we have, and we do. Our partnerships around the world have helped create that. It's not just us.
Right.
That's a lot of BS.
And it seems like a page out of Putin's playbook to try to divide us from our Western Europe allies. Right. Do you think the trade, what's going on with trade being actively involved in that in the past, do you think that this is going, is it repairable? Are we going to, is it going to end badly? Are you optimistic?
I'm not optimistic at all about things right now in this country. Yes, fine. Our economy is very strong. The tax cut was great. Those of us who have money are making more money. And the corporations are doing great. And they're buying stock buybacks. And they're giving out dividends. And all that's great. Is there great expansion and investment in small and medium-sized businesses? No, you're not seeing that.
There's an aggregation to the mega here.
Yes, yes.
For sure.
It's, and, you know, that's what the tax bill was about. Yes. And I'm not saying we shouldn't lower corporate rates, because we do have an unfair system around the world. But at a point that we are today, I just have enormous worry about where this country is going under this leadership.
About Vladimir Putin.
Yeah.
Clearly, you know, in your jobs in Washington, you're familiar with Russia. Is Vladimir Putin a danger to the United States, do you think?
Absolutely. No question about it. He has the second largest nuclear arsenal. They have had that. Mm-hmm. It is a one-man authoritarian nation. He is out stirring the pot. Not only did they actively, aggressively get involved in our election, but most people believe they did that with Brexit, and they're doing it in other elections in Europe.
Turkey.
They obviously caused chaos in Ukraine, invaded Crimea. They're throughout the world.
The first land invasion in Europe, theoretically, since World War II.
Right. And we did nothing.
Yeah.
And the world didn't do anything. And so, okay, we accept.
Okay, so now that's, but that was, that's on the Obama administration,
yeah,
is it not?
Yeah. Everyone was at fault. Now, Ukraine is not in NATO. But what if he was to take action in Lithuania or Estonia or others?
Georgia.
Do we really think that Donald Trump would take action and respond? I don't think so. After that press conference today, who knows what the two of them talked about alone, which is unprecedented.
Okay, let's talk about that. Mm-hmm. Right here, yeah. You, as chief of staff, you certainly were a part of high-level meetings between heads of state. In your knowledge of it, being a chief of staff and of the history of the presidency in the post-World War II era, has that ever happened before?
There's been a couple of occasions where, like, Reagan and Gorbachev walked in the garden for a half hour sort of thing, just them with interpreters. But to telegraph early on...
With people with their cameras on them.
Yes. An hour and a half, just the two of them with the interpreters. And I'll bet you there is no transcript from the U.S. interpreter about what was
you
said.
You best believe there's a recording that the Russians have.
Oh, yeah, they have a recording. But who knows what was said? And my opinion is it was either... For one of two, I think Trump loves this authoritarian guy. He loves to be totally in charge. What he did to the agencies of the U.S. government, the Justice Department, CIA, intelligence, even the special counsel, that isn't a fluke of an appointment. These are serious people. You may not agree with them, but to denigrate institutions of the government he leads and has survived for so long with respect is just mind-boggling. Putin could not have gotten more out of this. It's much worse than even Kim Jong-un, which was just a joke. That was strictly a
and it doesn't
photo
turn,
op.
It doesn't turn out that meeting really has borne the kind of advance that we thought it was going to.
Oh, remember he tweeted and said everyone should sleep well tonight.
Yeah, it's all fine. It's over.
He got rid of all his nuclear weapons. Nothing's happened. It's a joke. Putin is a different animal.
Right.
First of all, he's cagey. He's KGB.
Yeah.
He's cagey. Yeah. He's smart.
Yeah.
Unlike President Trump, to be frank with you, he knows what he's doing. He's got a game plan.
Okay, so to that point, there was a preparation here. It was really interesting to me how there was all of this discussion about how we would say, when the president said in this press conference today, Vladimir Putin has a really good idea of how to handle this in terms of you know, extraditing the 12 indicted Russian officials.
And now you're thinking, what?
Right now, I thought, okay, I can't wait to hear it because it will hit. And he'll explain to you in a few minutes. Don't worry about it. Go ahead, Vlad. Go ahead. And then when he explains that Mueller can go over to Russia and watch the Russians interrogate their own guys and take notes and then come back.
Uh-huh.
And then he gets to come here and he wants to take out this former Chicagoan, this Browder guy, right? And who was the guy who turned in Russian oligarchs for trying to steal in the United States of America, which led to the Magnitsky Act, which was literally taking those guys' assets, those Russian assets in the United States, and sequestering them, so they didn't have access to them. That's what that is all about. And the reason that the Russians came to meet with Donald Trump Jr. and all those people at the Trump Tower in June of 2016 was because they said it was about Russian adoption, because what Vladimir Putin did was say, if you do the Magnitsky Act, we're not going to sell you white babies. That is literally what Vladimir Putin said to the United States. He said this to the Obama administration. He said, here's your problem. The Americans are coming over here, especially middle-aged Americans who want to adopt children, and they're primarily white. They want to get Russian kids because they will look like them, because they can't get them in the United States. You're 40, you cannot get an American kid.
It's difficult.
And so they said, we're going to just stop. He wanted to put pressure on, you know, wealthy, upper-middle-class, powerful Americans who might say, oh, well, you know, my daughter's having trouble having a baby, so we're going to go over to Russia and get a baby. That was the beginning of that conversation. But what it really was about was opening up that money so that those oligarchs could get their money back. And they wanted Donald Trump Jr. to say, hey, when my dad's president, we'll get you your money back. That's what they were there for. And they said it was about adoption, but that's not really the issue. And it's so unbelievable to me that I sit here today and I watch this thing happen and Donald Trump Sr. turn and say, that's okay, this is a good idea. First of all, what is a good idea?
Well, does anyone think, I mean, first of all, it's laughable, but does anyone think that why Putin put that on the table was he wants to know how the heck did Mueller and his team put this together back to the named individuals working in the GRU?
Right.
Okay?
Right.
That is an unbelievably sophisticated operation that in a trial, much of it would come out, but much of it is highly secret. It has to be.
Right.
But that is an incredible package that they put together on, by name, the individuals, and they trace them back. It's a story, too, that anybody who thinks they're online and they can't get caught.
Right. Guess what? Yeah. There's always a trail. But they'll never be extradited. They'll never face trial. I mean,
Mueller's going to Moscow in absentia.
He could try him in absentia, which would be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. But then there would be this argument about giving up all the secrets about how we got it. I don't think it'll ever happen. But all right. Well, Bill Daly, thank you very much. Appreciate it, sir.
Thank you. Have a great day.